Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this 7 o'clock meeting to order at 7:15. Roll call, please.
Okay, Maloney?
Here.
DeSchmidt?
Here.
Boyer, absent. Vaccaro here. Olson?
Here.
Harry?
Here.
Danny?
Here. Pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Do we have any town hall?
No.
Okay. Moving forward, our consent agenda. Items to be included in the consent agenda. Does anyone want to remove anything?
Oh, 1A, please.
I would like to remove 1C, approval of the bill list, and 1D, approval of transfer funds.
Anyone else? Okay, Peggy, regarding 1A?
Right, the committee of the whole meeting, I know it showed Monica was absent. I believe she came in sometime towards the end, had like 4 minutes left.
Yeah.
Okay, so then I'm fine with just not taking that out.
Right, and the director already made the change. I have emailed her, and because she was present during the whole meeting, so that was taken out. But I did notice it at the end when they did roll call. She was present, but she wasn't at our table. She was in the audience, so I don't know if she really was present.
She was present. She was there. I saw her. She was here.
Came in,
but she came,
in like with 4 minutes.
They just put the time that she comes in late.
But she didn't vote on that, so that is
no,
you are correct.
Okay,
right.
So
that's what I wanted to make sure. Yeah, she.
So we really don't need to make any changes to
just that.
Just in the minutes.
Okay. Trustee Olson, C?
Yes. I'm going to move to approve the bill list in the amount of $355,000, but I have a couple of questions. The first is in regards to check number 5290 in the amount of $130 that was payable to the Palatine Library. And in reading the paperwork on this, I got the impression that it was for us to have a booth at a community event that the Palatine Library was having. Is that accurate?
Yes.
How does that benefit the Bartlett community?
I don't have the details on the specific event, but we reviewed it and then we thought it was going to be a good opportunity to connect with other libraries and the community. I can look further into it, but
was there any advertising? Did we market that at all on our website that we were doing an event with Palatine to draw people?
No, I don't remember.
Did Palatine?
I'll see if I can find what it is. So I will try to look into it right now, but.
Okay.
I don't have the answer for you at this moment.
Well, wouldn't it be good exposure anyway?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't it be good exposure for
people
at Palatine
to see? It's an event with Elder Works, I believe. And so it's connecting with seniors across different communities. And that's what I remember right now.
I was just reading the description that was attached to the request. The second one I have a question about is the, I guess it's more a statement than a question, but it does have a couple of related questions. We paid Oak Brook Mechanical Services $2,625 for 8 hours of labor on 2 days when our air cooling system went down. And that seems a little excessive, but the question I have is, of the $2,625, what was the cost of the fuse? And have we taken actions to evaluate what other basic parts need to be on site and what additional training needs to be provided to our staff so that we can address these questions as opposed to paying a huge amount of money and closing the building for a day because we have to call our outside contractor.
I don't know the amount. Larry, do you know the amount of how much the fuse cost?
No.
But I do know that Larry knows how to change it now, and we have bought extra ones so that in case it happens, then he can change it.
That, I understand. But my question was, have we looked to see if there are other things that are, and I assume this is a fairly basic process to do, if you have the material, that we should be making sure that we have on hand replacement parts so that we don't have to close the building and incur these kinds of charges?
Larry meets with the Oak Brook Mechanical 4 times a year, and they review all of the different equipments and pieces of equipment that we have. And there are some things that we can't avoid if it's 105 degrees out, and we do the best that we can. Larry is very on top of things, and I have confidence in him, and sometimes things happen that we don't have control of.
Joe, I think you're trying to say is, should have had the fuses on hand prior to this? I don't know where you're going with it.
No, what I'm saying is, we identified a problem. It cost us $2,600. Are there other similar types of things that could occur that had we had parts on hand, if they should occur, and does our staff have training to handle? And I don't know the answer to that question, and I don't think that anybody here does.
I think it's a complicated question, because are you asking Larry to be fully trained on how to operate AC systems? Because in which case, why do we have Oak Brook Mechanical if Larry can do all of those things? I think there's going to be plenty of emergencies that we can't anticipate across any of our systems. I do think that Larry is very handy and knows how to fix a lot of things in this library that past maintenance workers have not been able to do. So I think Larry is quite well trained. Whether we have the supplies on hand, I think you don't know until that situation arises.
I also think that it would be impossible to try to project what particular items making up an air conditioning system are going to fail. You know, how do you know? What do you want to have $10,000 worth of inventory in the building for an air conditioning unit if you don't know? You know, that makes no sense.
Right.
So
it also takes Larry away from his other job if he's doing all these other types of things too.
I think it was handled right. And now you got the fuse if something goes on in the future.
Don't forget, it was an emergency call, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you, Larry.
And HVAC and plumbing are very expensive.
I will say, to go back to Trustee Olson's question about the conference with Palatine, I have the email here that it's an ElderWorks Aging Better Senior Expo. It's in Hoffman Estates, and we're partnering with Poplar Creek Palatine and Gail Borden to have 2 tables at that event. And it connects, it's an opportunity to network and give information about what libraries do for the community. We receive a lot of new ideas for programming, and it's just a great way to partner with other libraries that are reaching out to different
communities. Did we market this to the community?
It's in August.
Oh, it's in August. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm not sure if it's
that we can market.
Yeah, I don't know all the logistics. Yeah. It's Sandra and Adult Services. But, yeah.
And I have one last question, and it's in regards to check number 5292 payable to Rails in the amount of $7,870. $7,000 of this, I understand, was payable for eMedia, which I was told relates to the digitization of the Examiner. I also noticed in reviewing the invoices that we also had a software for purchase of about an additional $700 for scanning software that would eliminate wrinkles and dirty spots and whatnot. And these two items are $7,700. We received a grant from, I guess, Rails too, in the amount of $4,233. Do we know what the cost is going to be of digitizing the examiner? I know that in the director's report there was reference to the fact that we've got an intern who's been trained to, along with two of our staff members. So there are three people that are going to be working on this project. Do we have any idea what our labor costs are? Because those two staff librarians are expense to the library.
We haven't figured that out because we don't know how many hours they're going to put into the project. We do have to do a report on that to the Rails grant people as a conclusion to the grant.
And the cost of the Content DM system, which is the platform that we're using to host the digitized examiners for the community, we wrote the grant anticipating that was a Content DM was accessible through the state's library e-resources program and that it would be at no cost to the library. But we've talked back and forth now with multiple representatives from the state level, Content DM, as well as OCLC, and that system is actually not a part of the library e-resources program. So that was a cost that we had to absorb as a library, but I don't think we see any issue with that because the purpose of the library is to provide information to the community, and digitizing these examiners is doing just that.
It was part of our previous strategic report and our strategic plan and part of our current one.
Yeah. Otherwise, all the other costs for this were included in the grant proposal with that $4,200. So,
yeah, I'm sorry. So do you mind giving me that number one more time that you were referencing? The one payable to Rails.
She would like the check number.
$5,292.
Yeah.
Wait, Sonia, you can speak.
Yes, that was actually not related to this project. That was actually for our EBSCO subscription.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It was related to the EBSCO subscription.
Because it says e-media.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. That's the budget line.
I believe that Trustee Olson is referring to check.
$5,292.
$5,281 is the one that's referring to the grant project. $5,292 is referring to our EBSCO package. That's what Sonia just clarified.
So that was the one that I asked you about why Sonia had signed off on, and you told me was related to the digitization.
I looked at the one that you showed me, and it had the budget line for the digitized grant expenses for the amount of $5,505. Because in our conversation, I said, you asked the exact same question, and you said, how much do you think this project's going to cost? I said, we wrote the grant anticipating about $5,000. And then you said, well, this cost right here is over $5,000. It's $5,500. And so if that was the case, then if you were referring to a check that was $7,800, then that was a completely different conversation.
Thank you.
Okay, so can I have a motion on 1C?
I made the motion to.
I'll second that motion.
Any further discussion?
No.
Roll call, please.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. DeCarlo, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes. And on 1D?
On 1D, may I speak to this, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, so Joe and I talked about the transfer of funds, and we still would like to make the transfer of $380,000 from the Schwab General Fund to the NOW checking account. But in addition, we received, I believe, $19,900 from one of the counties for taxes. So we would like
from the balance, well, not the balance, from DuPage County.
From DuPage County. So we would like to transfer $20,000 from the now account to the checking account.
Right. And there's also a language, the way this is written in the it's not, we're not transferring from, or we're not transferring to the now checking account. It's the library's checking account. We have a now account that's our bank investment account. They're two separate things, and it was mislabeled in what's on this proposal. So that's the other correction. Because it says transfer $380,000 to the now checking.
Oh, you're right. Sorry. Now, no, to the just the general checking.
What's going to the general checking? The $380,000?
And then in addition from the now account, $20,000 to the checking account for an even $400,000.
Yes.
Your second?
Second.
I didn't hear a motion on that.
Joe and I made.
I made the motion.
And not me.
Thank you.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer absent. Picaro? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Okay. Regarding the rest of the consent agenda, which would be 1A, B, E, F, G. Did I get a motion?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
A second?
No second.
Any discussion? I have discussion. Trustee Olson, that $78.77, what was that for?
That, well, there are two items there. One was reimbursement of because I paid it myself, the trustee training, three sessions, that was $40. The balance is the attendance at the Laconi banquet.
What's it?
It was parking and mileage.
Right.
And then just a reminder to all trustees that any travel reimbursements, the estimates that you're going to expend need to be approved prior to the event. So that did not occur, I believe. So just a reminder
to
everybody.
I didn't think of it. I signed up for it, but I didn't think of putting it in because the mileage is from here to there. We're all the same.
Yeah. So just a gentle reminder.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Okay. Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer absent. Picaro? Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dave?
Yes. All right, correspondence?
We have a memo, not a memo, a flyer from Hawk Hollow invite. Yeah. They are debuting their brand new Hawk Hollow school, so you're all welcome to attend that. Please RSVP on your own. And then we have a yearly reminder from the library attorney regarding the BNA, budget and appropriation ordinance.
And the grand opening of Hawk Hollow, that's on the 30th?
Right, at 5:30 p.m. So we're just RSVPing to the school.
Yeah.
And are we going as trustees of the library? Okay, just money.
I don't know. It depends on what you say.
Well, I didn't know if we were just going on our own like everybody else, or we're going to represent the library.
Well, it's the invites went to specific governmental entities.
I would represent the library.
Yeah, it's a flyer. The invitation's a flyer. It doesn't state. Just a general flyer.
I stand corrected. Thank you. Reports, questions, and answers from the president and the trustees. Anyone? Yes, sir.
I had a member of the community approach me in the last month. I found it rather disturbing. And I think it's because we don't do enough to get the word out, so to speak. I had a person ask me if the district was getting rid of all of its DEI materials. And this person said that if that's happening, they'd be more than happy to store it until such time as the politics of what's happening in this country change. I assured them that no, we're not, but I'm wondering if we shouldn't be thinking about, as many libraries do, a I don't want to say column, but a communications to the public from our director as part of a routine inclusion in our quarterly bulletin on programs. Many libraries' directors do talk about events that are occurring. And a good example right now would be the fact that we're going through space and needs analysis and, you know, that sort of thing. But it's just a thought that I've got. I was really taken back when I heard that from a community member. So I also wanted to congratulate Jessica Tarnowski on her appointment as the chair of Blue STEM committee. So. That's it.
Reports, questions, and answers from the director and staff.
I just said that there was an error in the statistics, and so I have provided everybody with copies. I highlighted the items that were changed. There was concern about the fiscal year to date for the checkout of materials. There was something wrong with the formula, so it's been corrected, as well as the total number of BPLD items checked out. So those two have been corrected. Trustee Olson expressed concern about the items cataloged and items withdrawn being the exact same number for the fiscal year to date at 11,032, and miraculously, it's the same number. So as we have been stating through this space needs assessment, that we are literally, per the data, taking one book out for every single book that we purchase. So
thank you.
Just further support.
Anything else? All right, moving on to our action items, building and maintenance ordinance.
So this is a annual ordinance that we do in July. It is for a separate fund for our building and maintenance. I think our equipment and contracts come out of it, our landscaping and our snow plowing. Basically, we approve it tonight and then it gets published in the newspaper. And then patrons have 30 days to decide if they want to challenge it. In my whole life or my career, I have not seen this happen, but it is something that we do annually to get that extra building and maintenance levy money.
Madam President, I'll make a motion to approve the building and maintenance ordinance for 2025-3.
Okay. Second that.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call please.
Maloney?
Yes.
Fishman?
Yes.
Boyer absent. Carl, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Now our budget for 2025-2026, an amendment with the addition of an amount of $1,800 for bank fee line item expenditures.
I talked this over with Joe, and when I changed the number to 1800, that was just for the fraudulent fee service. After talking to Joe, he recommended that we also include the the normal bank fees that have been going under the contingency line items. So Sam went back and looked at the items for bank fees in contingency, which totaled roughly about $1,600. So we would like to change the bank fees to $3,400.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any more discussion? Hearing none, roll call, please.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer absent. Fucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Haney?
Yes. Next up, resolution authorizing non-resident cards for the 2025-2026 fiscal year.
So this is something that we do every year. We don't really have a big amount of patrons that it impacts. I believe in the past we've only had a total of two, but it's for people that do not pay taxes to the library in their general taxes, and if they want to get a library card, then we use the tax bill method to have them purchase a card.
I'll make a motion to approve the resolution authorizing non-resident cards for the 2025-2026 fiscal year.
Second.
Any discussion?
I have a question. There, and I don't know the status, but isn't there something either in legislation or pending legislation regarding availability or access to libraries for all children in the state? And does that have any impact on this?
Not us. It's mostly Gale Borden in Poplar Creek.
So people that don't have a card, they're not in our district, they can still come to the library, read books, stay here. They just can't check it out unless they actually...
Or have access to our databases. They need a library card number.
So even if they're doing it in house.
I mean, if they use our computers, they can use like a guest pass and things like that. But this is for people who live in like an unincorporated area, not like people who live in Streamwood trying to come in.
Okay. Roll call.
Okay. Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer absent. Fucaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Next is the creation of the Finance Committee. I've had discussions with Trustee Olson, and we feel that because of the expenditures that we may be facing, it would be a good idea at this time to have a Finance Committee. I would like to, for everyone's consideration, to not only have Trustee Olson, but to also have Trustee DeSchmidt and myself then be on this Financing Committee. It's not so much of a caveat, but as a side note, I don't know that the Finance Committee is as important because we have discussions and we'll still bring it to the full board. A building committee in the future is certainly going to be important. So while we're Finance Committee thinking at the time, I'd like for the rest of you to consider maybe getting involved with the building committee, because it'd be nice to kind of like share the responsibilities or at least get different insight and discussions from. But for now, we're just going to focus on the creation of the Finance Committee. And so I would like the board to vote on Trustee Olson, Trustee DeSchmidt, and myself as being that committee.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Any more discussion?
Can I just make one statement? In the past, when we have had committees, the whole board has shown up, which defeats the purpose of a committee. So I just want to let everyone know that the people that are part of the committee will be due diligent and be coming back and reporting all the information to everybody, so there's no need to come to the meeting unless you really, really want to. But
yeah, we won't be able to, you know, make executive decisions. We'll just be presenting then everything to the board. Okay. We have a motion and a second.
Maloney?
Yes.
DeSchmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. Moving on, approval to change the Cook and DuPage County tax deposits to the Schwab General Fund instead of the Fifth Third Now account. Would that cause a problem?
I'm sorry.
Do we have to like go to Cook County and to DuPage County and have them?
I believe Carolyn has got the necessary information prepared to do that.
Yes, so right now the taxes are going to Fifth Third.
Correct.
So I had
our Now account.
I had Schwab fill out their part, and I have the rest of the part to be filled out by the treasurer.
Okay,
I'll make a motion to approve the change Cook and DuPage County tax deposits to Schwab General Fund instead of the Fifth Third Now account.
I'll second that. Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
Day off for birthday holiday policy revision.
So this came up because we were, July, there's a lot of birthdays in July. And so it applies to all employees. And so some employees may work an 8.25 shift, or some employees may work a 5-hour shift. So we wanted to just cap it at 7.5. And so we put that in there to make it clear for all employees. And that will be also the same thing. We'll be bringing the same thing to you for the other floating holiday next month, just as more clarification as questions came up.
It just needed to be more explicitly stated.
So it says up to
7.5.
So it's whatever your schedule. So if you're someone who's only working a 4-hour shift, then you get 4 hours. You're not going to get an extra 3.5 hours of pay.
Okay, I'll bring a motion to approve the birthday holiday policy.
Second.
Any further? Yes. Trustee Olson?
I'll second it, but I have a question.
Okay. I already seconded it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry, Joe.
Go ahead with your question.
Do the part-timers routinely work the same days of the week and the same hours of the week?
I would say in adult and youth, that is more likely, but in circulation, it may fluctuate a bit.
So how do you differentiate?
Is there potential for gaming this in terms of the benefit?
It still wouldn't take them over their weekly hours expected, right? It wouldn't take them over their weekly hours expected. It's simply a paid day on their birthday.
Within the pay period.
Within that same pay period. So,
like you can say full-time gets 7.5, part-time gets 4.
No, it's just whatever you're scheduled to work. So it's the equivalent to what their same hours would be.
It seems inexpensive and positive perk to me for the staff that they appreciate that. Yeah, that's
especially for our staff who don't have very many.
But they couldn't possibly be having birthdays. Look at how young they all look.
My birthday's on October 20th.
He was on the board meeting last year, so you can't say that. Double.
I recall it's December 16th.
Well, I'm the day after Christmas and nobody remembers me.
Mallory and I wanted to go see a concert.
I'm the day before firecracker.
On the October board meeting.
When's your birthday?
June 20th.
Okay.
So
we're all
Maloney?
Now that we know.
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Dane?
Yes. Designation of two trustees for the six-month review of regular committee and special board meeting minutes.
Make a motion.
Double Peggy.
We don't need a motion for that.
Oh, it's an action item, so.
Yeah, it's under action.
We've had a motion for that.
I know, but let's be technical.
Just want to be official, right?
Yeah.
Okay, do we have a second? Dave, are you seconding?
Sure.
Roll call.
Just want to be sure.
Jump in the pool.
Okay. Maloney?
Yes.
Schmidt?
Yes.
Boyer, absent. Vaccaro, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes. All right, now we have discussion items on E.O. Sullivan update.
We got him drawing a blank. Yes, we met with Colin and Rich on a Friday afternoon at 2:30 p.m. I will never do a meeting on a Friday afternoon again. But it was very, very worthwhile and interesting, and they talked a lot about how our survey showed favorable results for a positive outcome for a referendum. We talked about next steps, and the most important thing that we need from the trustees is your networking skills and your ability to help us create a committee of people that may use the library, may not use the library. You can reach out to your friend and, you know, talk to that person, but we need a list of about 15 to 20 people. I think I put the date in there that I need the names by. If you have contact information, that would be great. Because then moving forward, that would be our committee that would push everything forward. So that is kind of what the main focus of that meeting was. And then we would still have community focus groups for the public. And am I missing anything?
No, I'm not seeing the date. I'm looking
at 8/25.
8/25, okay.
Yes. So there's a handout in side that is from the E.O. Sullivan, the community.
Yeah, you have that. I just didn't see the date on there.
It was on the director's report.
I think what's important to note is that this committee is different than like hosting the community meetings. This is kind of like a super group that's going to really like meet twice with the E.O. Sullivan people to help share information about the community and their own experiences, to help E.O. Sullivan guide those community meetings, and they're basically those liaisons. And with Carolyn and I discussed, right, you all live in the community, you're elected officials, you serve on different boards, whether it's, you know, with the Lions or the Rotary or kids in sports and schools, like you guys, you know these all. I've heard trustees say there's plenty of people in the community that don't know where the library is, so
reach out
to those people and see if they're interested in being a part of this. But,
so you want contact info, email only, or name, phone number?
Email, phone, name and phone. That would be
And what do we share with them as far as the time that these meetings
it's all in here.
Is everything set?
We don't have dates or times or anything. It's just about gauging interest.
Just kind of gives you
right.
But there's
and I have it up.
There should be two meetings that are each an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay.
So it's just.
Would there be any limitations in terms of perceived conflict of interest? For example, another elected official in town, or teachers at school? Are these the kind of people you'd be looking for, or would we not?
So a variety.
It says taxpayers who normally don't utilize library services, seniors, business owners, elected
officials. They need to live in the community.
Yes. People that breathe.
Right.
Yeah. Great.
Do you have a pulse?
Ideally, yes.
Ideally.
Do you have a pulse?
And of course, we also are, you know, thinking of our own library patrons and people that we interact with ourselves. So.
Yeah, do we get that?
Is there an age? Limitations.
I would think 18. Over 18.
I have one other thing that I'd like to bring up if I could. I don't know how many of you noticed in looking through the financial statements that on the balance sheet we now have a breakdown of the different fund balances. This was something that I asked James to do because at the last meeting when we were working on the budget numbers and I was talking about what do we have available for things like expansion of library, replacement, whatever, it wasn't clear. And I thought that by having the breakdown here that each of us could keep track of where we stand and what is really available for purposes of modernization, expansion, re- replacement, whatever we ultimately end up proceeding with. And on this, we've got 29,000, or I'm sorry, 2,952,000 that's general fund, unrestricted. We have another 283,000 that's building fund maintenance that can be used for rental of property, new building, renovation. That's under the definitions. And until we have our audit complete, we don't know what our surplus number is, but it shows 819,000 currently.
In the general fund, though, Joe, doesn't some of that, isn't that deferred taxes?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that some of that for deferred?
No.
You have that separated out?
No, the deferred taxes on the balance sheet are a separate line item.
Okay.
At June 30th.
Okay.
Those are the taxes collected from both Cook and DuPage counties that are applicable to our fiscal year that started July 1. So this is available balances.
It's a great addition. Thank you.
Right. And of that $2,000,009, we have a policy regarding what we'd like to have for library operations. That's somewhere between $1.5 million and $2 million. Although that's not set in absolute stone, but it gives us a better indication of what our availability of funds is. So we can track that as the year progresses, we get our audit done, and it gives us information that I think will be helpful in our discussions going forward. So that was it.
Okay. The director's report is information only. Do we have any old business?
I had something I wanted to just bring up. I just want a question. So there was a tax levy ordinance that we passed on April of 2024, and I know it's back a year. But John Sias was absent at that meeting, and he did sign the paperwork. Is that still, are we good with that? That you have to be present at the meeting when we pass the ordinance?
What ordinance was it?
This is the email that you gave me the other day regarding some information. And I just happened to be looking through it.
I think he needs to be, he didn't need to be at the meeting because he was as the
secretary.
I thought it was whoever was acting as the secretary. Okay, so it doesn't matter. Okay, just wanted clarification. Thank you.
When did I send this to you?
You emailed it to me.
When?
It's from the FOIA.
Oh.
I mean, that's not what the FOIA was about.
No, but when I read it, I just saw that, and I just wanted clarification. He's attesting to it, so he doesn't have to be present.
Okay, that's why I wanted to be sure. Thanks.
I'm sorry, there is one other thing that I wanted to bring up. Today was the first day for early registration for the ILA fall conference. And registration, in order to get the early registration, will have to be completed by 16th of September, which means that at the August board meeting, all of the board members who wish to go to that meeting should be submitting their anticipated expenses for the fall conference.
Everything for the ILA conference, the registration, the travel reimbursement estimate forms, and everything is on the trustee portal. Thank you for the reminder.
Can we get a link set out for that just so I can mesh up the dates with my work?
It's on the trustee portal.
Is it on the, okay.
Yeah, it's on the, if you go into the portal, there's like a news and updates, and it's literally like the first link there. Or just,
you don't have to go to the whole conference. There's a day dedicated to just trustees, if that works better for
you.
Yeah,
I remember the mention. I mean, I would love to go to as much of it as possible. It's corporate America, so.
Anything else? Any other new business? In town hall.
I'll have a motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
Roll call.
Barry. Let me go back. Okay, Maloney?
Yes.
Kishmit?
Yes.
Boyer absent from Carl, yes. Olson?
Yes.
Barry?
Yes.
Danny?
Yes.
What is the time?
7:59.